So we're going to read from Luke chapter 8 and verses 1 to 3. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. And then Luke 24. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, 2 men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Johanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And the word seemed to be as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass.
And perhaps, David, Mark 15, 40 and 41.
There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him, and ministered unto him, many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem.
And just for completion at this stage, Matthew 27, 55 and 56.
And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of Jesus and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children.
The passage in Matthew, Mark, gives the information retrospectively. In other words, we don't have the details of the woman until the close, and then it tells you what happened previously. But in Luke's Gospel, we have it in chapter 3, and then we have them again in chapter 24. This morning we had a very important study on the place of Mary, the place of the Virgin Mary, a very key the manner in which our Lord Jesus Christ came amongst us as our Savior and Lord, and as a true man amongst men. And we've been looking at various other women on the program. But in this initial session, I wanted to just focus on the woman that were following the Lord Jesus more generally. We find out some interesting things about them. We find out that they had been with him right from the initial stages of his ministry in Galilee, right through on till the crucifixion. Very courageous in one way, I feel. And then they came to anoint the body, seek the body, and as we've read, they discovered that it was no longer there. But I think the key is in these three verses, in Luke 8, verses 1 to 3, and that's why I've referred to this scripture, because it's not specifically related to what goes immediately before it. At least I don't say, nor to what follows it. It's really a connecting passage. It's the three verses that are used, you know, to connect what's said previously. To what follows afterwards, because these women, as far as I can see, were already following him by this stage, and continued to follow him. And I just wonder if anyone had any thoughts as to what their particular purpose was. Why were they there?
The question is why were they following Christ?
Correct.
Yes. One suggestion would be, we see this many times in the Gospels, that this is the reality of all who met Christ and were at least made free of the evil spirits. If we remember, one of them wanted to follow Christ and was sent home. But was the natural consequence, obvious consequence of meeting Christ and having your life changed by him? One suggestion.
I think it's a good one.
In the previous chapter, the Lord says to his host in verse 47, her many sins are forgiven, for she loved much, but he to whom little is forgiven loves little. And I know Mary Magdalene is the subject for the next reading, but as you brought this up, I think for Mary, that she had not been helped a little, she had been helped a lot. Seven demons had the Lord chased out of her. And so there had not been a small change in her life. There was a big change. So you know, to use the Lord's word, she would have loved him much.
Yeah. It was also the, if we remember, the reality of the converts in Thessalonica. They turned from idols to serve afterwards the living God. It's basically realizing what you've been taken out of, and then finding a new, absorbing, accomplishing purpose for life, which is Christ.
You, you, could also add to it that the Lord appointed 12 apostles. They accompanied him. And they were to go and preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These women, they were attracted to the Lord, as we've just heard. But they had another task for them, which was to provide practical support to that mission. So, you've asked what is the reason why they followed the Lord. I'm sure Manuel and Paul's answers are the right ones. But I think we can also see that in these sisters, they had a particular task to do which supported the task of the apostles. Practical, which it wouldn't have been possible, really, for 12 men and the Lord to go around without having their help.
Previously, we've thought of widows who had little, and Mary was seemed to be a poor woman. She spoke before. But these ministers, the Lord, are their substance. So we have here some wealthy sisters as well.
I would have, previously I would have gone for that one straight away. They may go, oh, they need a few women about the place to look after us. And, well, sorry. And, this was a vital thing insofar as the operations are going on. But the way in which the verb is added in verse 1 in my King James in the italics were with him, the disciples were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities and so on. The one and the other were with him. It's postulated that they were both with him, at least I'm given to understand that is the case. Unless anyone here has got their Greek Testament out or wants to tell me whether that's the right understanding or not. So, really, what I'm arrived at is that the women who were following the Lord Jesus were there on the same basis as the disciples. That they were there as followers. And that was quite an interesting discovery to me. I have to admit it, that discipleship was for sisters as well. Here, just in the sense that it was for the disciples, for the men folk. And one of the things that brought me to it was that in Acts chapter 20, where Magdalene, when Mary turns to the Lord, and it's a very tender and a very wonderful occasion, and we'll look at it. Right? We will look at it. What did I say? Acts. No, you'll not get it in Acts. I'm sorry. Thanks, Brian. It's John. John chapter 20. Yeah. Yeah, good.
Wanted to see if we pay attention. Yes.
Yeah. It's hard to keep. But anyway, Jesus says to her, Mary, she turning around says, Rabboni, which is, says in Hebrew, or to him, which means to, which is to say master, but we those who've sat under masters know that a master means a teacher. And she's calling the Lord Jesus teacher. I think it's a term of endearment, Rabbi, Rabboni. It's a strengthened form. the term of faith. But nevertheless, it's the term for teacher. So really, in the early stages, and it's true that the Lord here in Luke, he'd only just previously in chapter 6, wasn't it, appointed the apostles. And and they had not yet been sent out. They were still in the learning process. They were still in the pathway of discipleship. But the way in which the discipleship worked out in practice was that they were with him. They were with the Lord Jesus. They were with the teacher. And they were learning from him. They were learning from his words. And they were learning from his example. And in fact, in Acts chapter 1, where someone had to be appointed to the office, to the place of Judas, it was continuing with him from the time of John the Baptist, which essentially dates the start of the Galilean ministry, right through to the resurrection. It's very wonderful, I think, that although these sisters, I think we may call them that now, sisters in the Lord, they took on additional responsibilities that you, Simon, have referred to, but I do think that the suggestion that Emmanuel and Paul has made, that they were there, they were there to learn. So that would mean also that it's not just for the brothers. It's not just for the brothers to study the scriptures, and it's not just for husbands or what I'm trying to say, I think, is that it's not the public. It's not a public place for sisters to come forward in the assembly today, if we properly understand headship, and that there are different spheres of responsibility and different roles. And no doubt, we would expect that these sisters would have kept a sisterly place, but nevertheless, they were following the Lord throughout the various towns and cities in the path of discipleship. I mean, sleeping. And some of them, as we were saying, were cultured women, and yet they were going about and maybe sleeping quite rough.
In Acts chapter 9, we read about Tabitha, and it explicitly says of her that she was a female disciple. So that just underlines what you just said, Andrew. And when the next verse, this is in verse 36, in verse 37, the end of verse 36 really, it says what she does. She was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And that very much comes along the same lines as what we have read in Luke chapter 8. And we were not so much in relation to our reading this afternoon. We were discussing that this morning. You know, the need of this ministry the sisters did. You know, something we often think of the needs of the saints, you know, the needy saints, and things like that. But supporting the work. You know, like this conference, when it is organized, that takes time, but obviously the food on the table and everything else, it costs money. That those things need to be supported. When the Lord traveled around with the 12, as you just said, Andrew, that involved monetary cost, and these sisters had an eye for this, and they had the means to provide for this, and they did so.
obviously we know that, you know, if we didn't have our sisters, you know, everything would be nearly impossible to perform. And something we can do on our own, but a lot of things that we would struggle with. But these obviously were sisters that had ability and had substance, but perhaps more important than that, they were ones that the Lord had touched. Mm-hmm. So they had felt his effect upon their lives. So they had been healed, some of them at least, or even spirits and infirmities. So their heart was for the Lord. And then they did what they could. And it is amazing the thing they travelled. You know, we find them in Jerusalem, miles away from their homes. And they were there with the disciples, and they were there when they were needed. And how they stayed, and after women who had the ability to find a place and find the things they needed, and spices and everything else they could do. Because they love the Lord.
And out of that love, I was thinking about Joanna. Obviously, she was a woman in the high society. Her husband, we understand, was Herod Stewart. And what I think is really nice to see that is that she wasn't afraid to identify with Christ, although she was of a high class. And if we think, I don't want to put Joseph of Arimathea in a bad light, but it took him some time to identify himself with Christ, while she was ready to do that, despite the fact she was of high class, to identify herself with a master, with a teacher, which was not really of the ones who really hold an esteemed place in the religious world. And it's nice to see this. And also an example for us.
There must be a lot that we're not told that it cost Joanna to take this place. Mm. Her husband working for Herod. Well, Herod would not have been very keen on that idea, would he? Mm. It must have cost her a lot. We're not told the background. But we can just imagine, can't we, what it cost her to throw in her lot, if I may use that expression, to follow Christ. Mm-hmm. The enemy on one side of the Pharisees, but one who Herod consistently tried to do away with from start to Herod's one after another.
And we understand from this that discipleship is costly, isn't it?
Yes.
Comparing to salvation, which is by grace free because Christ paid everything, discipleship is costly. Yeah. There are conditions attached to it, and we know it from the gospel. The Lord Jesus was always clear about the ones who wanted to follow him, that there was a price to be paid.
She's an illustration of what the Lord said about that. About leaving father, mother, etc.
Mm-hmm. Well, we should be careful not to just think that it was only well-off women who followed the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because it adds here, Mary called Magdalene, I know we've got to study her, but I doubt that she was in the category of those who ministered to him out of their substance. So this ability to support the work is not just for those who've got financial ability. It can be practical ability as well. So I think it's important to see that the practical support of the work is an important element. And although sometimes we put a lot of importance on the one who speaks,
yes,
one of the preaches from a platform, if you like, there's a lot of work that goes on in the background.
Yes, I think we must bring in the many others that you referred to in verse 3 that rubs the thing out. It may well be that Mary, called Magdalene, was distinguished for the deliverance that she should receive, wasn't it? And what a key place, actually, well, we've talked after the interval, what a key place she had Yes, in Christian testimony, bringing the message from Christ, from the risen Christ to the disciples. But Joanna, it seems fairly evident from her circumstances that she would have either she might have had resources of her own.
Yes.
If it was an arranged marriage,
yeah,
to aristocratic families or through her husband, but it would seem that these others would specifically be brought in because this was something that they took care of, but not alone, because there were many others which ministered of their substance. And well, it's good. I mean, I'm very happy that there's been others have brought in additional scriptures to show that discipleship is for some, for the young. And for the older ones, we need to keep our outlets up in terms of following the Lord or the learners.
Maybe you need to explain outlets for the foreigners and all.
Oh my. Well, I don't even know if it applies in England any longer, does it?
Yes.
No, it does. You have. Learn, L is for learn.
That is right.
L is for learner. And when you're making efforts, you know, or getting behind the wheel again after an interval, still have to sit your test, you can put the L plate up. And that indicates to others that you're learning. And you might blunder, but people receive a certain warning to keep out of danger, shall we say. But I know, you know, sometimes we do blunder around a bit, but, if we were prepared to put ourselves under the Lord's teaching and to seek to put into practice what we have sought to learn, it might be a worthwhile exercise, even if our perceived rate of success wasn't very great. But the other thing then, in looking at the other scriptures in Matthew and Mark, and in looking in Luke 24, we see how consistent they were. And this is another great quality, their consistency in following the Lord Jesus. Other women that were with him and looking at Matthew and Mark, we see that they were with him right through from the Galilean ministry, and it followed them all the way throughout those towns and villages and all the way to Judea, for the Judean ministry at the close, and then they were actually present in Jerusalem, and they'd had the courage to go back to the cross and were found there. That supreme moment in the Lord's life, standing by the cross or standing at a distance.
And you suggested they went away. I've always thought that the women never went away.
No, I wasn't. Sorry, yeah. I wasn't. Yeah. I was suggesting that they travelled about with them, yes.
Yeah.
And that they were. I'm suggesting they were there right through.
Yes.
Is that your understanding?
Yeah. I think it's remarkable that it was the disciples that you could say the men who forsook him and fled.
Yeah.
And the women who waited and looked at the cross. And there is an aspect of serving which involves that, even if you can't do anything. You can stand beside the person who is suffering. In this case, it was the Lord. They couldn't actually stand beside the cross, I realise that. But they did the best they could in the circumstances, which was to stand far off and look. And I'm sure the Lord was aware of their presence. He looked for comfort as in woe, and there were none, but there were these women who waited and looked afar off from the cross. And that is a mark of devotion.
Yes, but they, because they were there and they didn't leave, they beheld the sepulchre,
yes,
and how the Lord's body was laid. And they return later and more spices, but the point is, they beheld where the body was laid. And I don't think any of the disciples, the apostles, I don't think any of those did, from what we read. The Lord, the women were so attached to the person of the Lord.
Mm. Yes, that's right.
They stayed there right throughout. And I'm sure, as somebody's already said, the Lord took note of that.
I think there's only one disciple who actually returned to the cross, and that was John.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he had to go away with the Lord's mother, take her to his home. He must have returned, because it says he saw the piercing of the side of the Lord, and the blood and the water come forth.
He did.
But he obviously came back later than the women were already there. It must have been.
So this consistency, I'm following a bit about what Simon says, has to do, devotion has its source, its springs in affections, in love for Christ.
Yeah.
Is that how should I understand?
That's what you said at the beginning, that these women followed the Lord, they were attracted to the Lord. And their attraction was a real and a deep one, and it didn't falter when things got difficult.
Yes, and it's a bit easy for us to say, no, well, hey, they shouldn't have been there because, you know, they should have known that the Lord was risen. But Peter didn't understand. John didn't understand. John, who had been in the bosom of the Lord, it was only when he went into the grave, we'll look at that later on, that he saw and believed. And there was none who understood, except for one, which also we will look at later. But, okay, they made a mistake. As you said, we sometimes blunder. But the reason they were there was because they loved the Lord. And they wanted to do the last thing they could, humanly speaking, do to him. None of the apostles were there. It was these women who were there to, as it were, to pay their last respects.
And we read earlier that when they told the disciples that, you know, that couldn't be conquered about it, it says it seemed unto them as idle tales.
Yeah.
They, you know, in a sense, the disciples were more in the dark. As the Lord had said, the Lord of course had said, you know, that. But, I mean, the power of resurrection is something so surpassing correct, you know, even though he told them on a number of occasions that he would be raised from the dead, their minds just didn't seem to be able to take it in until they were confronted with the evidence. And even then, it was somewhat difficult for them to grasp.
The disciples in verse 11 are really men of their time, and I think I'm right in saying that women's testimony was not accepted in courts and other places during those times. And so, but what we see is in the contrast where the Lord appears to women first, he appreciates and values the service and the ministry of women too throughout, that doesn't seem to be perhaps appreciated by the male disciples.
Yes, there was a fairly broad line of demarcation, wasn't there, in society at that time? There was the man and the woman. They arrived at things in different ways, but we shouldn't devalue neither the service nor the devotion of the woman. The feminine side, the side of affection.
It's interesting too, isn't it, that in verse 8 of chapter 24, the men in shining garments remind the women of what the Lord had said during his lifetime. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Saying how the Lord had said that in his lifetime. In Matthew's Gospel, he says it about three times. But verse 8, the women remembered his words. So they, at least, it seems, remembered that the Lord had said those things. And they were there to remember it when angels, men in shining garments, they're angels, aren't they? When the angels reminded them of what the Lord had actually said, they remember. We shouldn't imagine there's any difference in understanding between men who follow the Lord and women who do the same. Mm. I'm sure we've all known godly sisters who can talk to us well of the scriptures, person to person.
And are there moments where we have forgotten things? Mm-hmm. And, you know, someone needs to remind us, well, the Word of God says this, the Lord has said. Mm-hmm. And we shouldn't forget, of course, that these women were grieving. This wasn't the happiest weekend of their life. They had lived with the Lord, walked with the Lord for three and a half years. And that had abruptly come to an end. And everyone who's been in difficult circumstances, in whatever way that is, will know that, you know, sometimes when you're in a situation like that, you're not thinking clear. Or not thinking as clear as you would do when everything goes as you would want it to go. And sometimes we simply need to be reminded of what the Word of God says. I mean, these women were in fact very busy on the day the Lord Jesus was crucified, and the following Lord's Day, because it tells us that they prepared spices before Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And in another chapter it tells us they prepared spices on the morning after the Sabbath. That's in Mark's Gospel. And we could say, well, that was a mistake. It was going to rise again. But are we going to say it was a mistake for Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea to put spices on his body? Of course, they did the same. So I think if you allow for the fact that both the male disciples and the female disciples have not really taken to heart the Lord's words, and that is a picture to us of the importance of listening to the Lord and taking in his words. Nonetheless, their devotion was shown by the way in which, even though they had seen Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea bury his body and put aloes around his body, they still wanted to add more. They thought they were honouring the Lord. And they didn't just give up. Their devotion stayed right to the what they thought was the end. And they were there to go and put those spices on that resurrection morning. And for me, that really speaks of the fact that their love, well, we see particularly in the case of Mary Magdalene, took them to the point of where they would stay at the grave. She would have rather stayed at the grave than gone anywhere else. That shows real love for the Lord. Even if it was misguided, we would say.
So initially, when they went there that morning, in their hearts there were feelings of sorrow initially.
Yes.
But we can see the change, then the two testimonies, the angels come with the message.
Yes.
Another feeling takes over. He says they were afraid. But then, when they hear the message, they remember, they take in the words, as they say, or they remember to their hearts. And what they do for next is they returned and told. It's very nice to see this. Instructed all these things. They didn't keep anything for themselves. And they understood. The 11, the men need to hear this. Brother Hugh was telling us about the godly woman who need to remind us of things. Yes. And you can see that they understood what happened.
Yes.
And they went further with this message.
Yes.
And it was a recognition too of authority that the Lord had given to these apostles. And and they just appeared, the words just appeared as idle tales. As an idle tale, and they disbelieved them.
Well, we learned that Mark's gospel was all that's rebuked. Or disbelieve what they said. Mark chapter 16.
Verse 14,
yes. He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at feast and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen.
Which goes even beyond with what we have here. Here they saw the angels in an empty grave.
Yes.
They didn't believe that. Yeah. Then the women saw the Lord. And they didn't believe that either.
No.
But I think it goes back to what you both said at the beginning. I thought that was very important. What governed their footsteps, you know, the reason that they were there was because for what the Lord had done for them, and an affectionate response to them, you know, that kept them in the pathway through these difficult, traumatic, frightening, amazing circumstances of the closet. I like to go to that verse in John, you know, where it says your sorrow should be turned into joy. That was true in their experience, and it will be true in our experience when the Lord comes. I know we have his presence with us in person by the Spirit, and we have the Spirit's presence in the assembly, but when we see him as he is, that'll be a very precious moment for all of us, and it was for the woman here, seeing him alive out from among the dead.
I suppose that's the key. They were never expected an out of resurrection. That's something we're used to, if he rose out from among the dead.
Yes.
But the Jew did not expect an out of resurrection. Mm-hmm. So it was a major change of, I mean, the Lord had told them, but didn't really click. And who, in one way, you've got to, it's very difficult for us to grasp how revolutionary that was. Some people were to rise out from among the dead, leave the others dead in the grave.
Yeah, because the Jews would expect the resurrection at the last day.
And we also have the benefit of Paul's ministry, and Paul stressed that particular specific so many times, the out resurrection from among the dead. I know it's in John 11 tomorrow evening.